بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه. Must first thank Friends of Al-Aqsa for organizing this conference. Conferences that brought Muslims and Jews together have been organized over the years, but almost all those that were organized before were of a different type. There were conferences that brought together people who succumbed to the status quo and decided to twist history, subdue facts, subdue humanity to the status quo. They felt so cowardly to change. I'm so delighted that I have had the opportunity, for the first time, I must admit, to listen to Dr. Ilan Pappe, because I feel we are making one journey. My journey, I feel, is vindicated today, having heard him. I was born in 1955 in the city of Hebron, and as I started learning things, I learned that my mother had been a resident of Bi'r al-Saba, Bi'r Sheba. And in 1948, the entire household of my mother were forced out of their house. And they sought refuge in Hebron, my father's town, where she married my father. I grew up to know one thing, that we are so close to a menace, to a horrible danger. Nothing short of a beast that was likely to devour us at any time. The Jews, let's say. When Israeli Miraj fighter planes flew over us as kids, we said, the Jews, we cursed the Jews. The Jews did this to us, the Jews. At the age of 7, I moved to Kuwait, where my father had gone to work because economics in Hebron could not support the family. And at the age of 12, the news of the loss of my town, Hebron, came. And again, the blame was on the Jews. The Jews took our hometown just like they took my mother's hometown before. My father was an Arab nationalist, a Nasserist, like most Palestinians. As I went to secondary school, I became the odd member of the family. I became an Islamist. Rather than being impressed with Jamal Abdel Nasser, I was impressed by his victims, Al-Ikhwan. And it is no secret, I joined the Ikhwan. One of the best movements in the world, despite all the Zionist propaganda that seeks to tarnish its image. But that's not the issue today. But what is at issue today is that I found within Islamic circles that the Jews were being held responsible for every single calamity that afflicted the Muslims throughout their history. The Jews were responsible for the fitna that led to the assassination of Uthman and then to the turmoil that led to the massacring and killing of thousands of Muslims with Muslim hands. The Jews were responsible for the downfall of the Abbasid Caliphate. The Jews were responsible for this and for that. The Jews were occupying Palestine. The Jews deserved all the wrath, all the anger, all the hate, and all the curse. When I finished secondary school, I came to England to do my first degree. For the first time, I meet Jews. Never met Jews before. Never knew who the Jews were, apart from that saint's memory as a child when we visited relatives of ours in Jerusalem near the dividing line. We could see the Jews on the towers watching over us. Were they human? Were they beasts? It's difficult to tell from a distance. But deep within me, I believe they were beasts. All Jews are bad. Our Arab nationalists, the secularists from the Palestinian Students' Union here, laughed at us and said, "You don't understand politics. There are Zionist Jews and there are non-Zionist Jews." I said, "Impossible. You cannot be a good Jew. All Jews are the same." And it took a while for me to learn, to discover. And I am heavily indebted and grateful after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Professor Abdul Wahhab al-Misiri, whose lectures, whose writings, whose companionship on a number of trips opened my mind and my eyes. I have discovered that one of the biggest things, one of the biggest mistakes that has happened to us is that because of the problem of Palestine, because of Zionism, we have been provoked to reinterpret history and even reinterpret Quranic texts. I started reading the Quran with a different eye. The Quran tells us a lot about the Israelites. The Israelites who were in Hebron before they went to Egypt. The Israelites who were delivered from Egypt by Moses. The Israelites who went back with Moses to go to the Promised Land or to the Holy Land and then were lost in the wilderness for 40 years. The Israelites who ended up with one of the noblest prophets of Islam, Isa alayhi salam, preceded by Musa and in between David and Solomon and so many others that some Allah told us about in the Quran, some Allah did not tell us about. And the Quranic narrative is so beautifully specific. Like every community, like every group of people, the Israelites, some of them did wrong, some of them did well. And it was of interest to us at one point not to mention anything about what was well, just mention the bad things they did, because they are occupying Palestine. My journey is far from over, but I think I've reached a stable course, where my mission now is to educate both Muslims and Jews. And I am vindicated in this mission from what I see, from the responses I see. Several years ago, about 3 years ago, I was invited to a conference, the first of its kind that I attend, attended by Jews, Christians and Muslims in Cyprus, where I proposed an idea. I said, instead of talking about a solution to the current problem, why don't we talk about post-Israel? We had Jewish professors from America, a Jewish professor from Bar-Ilan University, and we had some even Israeli diplomats. That I knew afterwards they were diplomats. And my words started fire. The professor from Bar-Ilan University said, "What do you mean? This is an insult. This is anti-Semitic. I won't accept it. What do you mean by post-Israel?" And before I answered, a Jewish professor from America opposite to me said to him, "What are you talking about? Why is it an insult? I am a Jew and I don't give a damn about Israel," he said. And that really made me feel confident that what I was saying could be listened to and could be heard and can make sense. Yes, I realized that we lived with the Jews for more than 13
years. I could tell you what the Torah was.
Problems apart from the very early years. I discovered when I started learning and then lecturing on Islamic philosophy, that most Arab and Muslim philosophers had mentors who were Nestorian Christian priests or Jewish philosophers who were the media through which Greek philosophy came to Islam. And then later on, we found Jewish philosophers learning from Ibn Rushd and acting as a bridge, transferring that philosophy to Europe. You could find Muslim caliphs who entrusted Jewish educators to educate the children, to teach them. Some of them were advisors. There was no problem at all, I heard, until the advent of Zionism. And that's what we have in common. The problem we have in common is Zionism. Zionism has created a culture of fear and ignorance, both among the Muslims and among the Jews. Zionism is the common enemy. And Zionism is what is preventing us from ever, or trying to foil our attempts to restore those times when we were living together. Last Tuesday, I was supposed to go to York University to give a lecture, invited by a group of English students, not Muslim, I assumed Christian. And then, just the night before, it was the morning actually, before I decided to go to the station and travel to York, I received an email, an urgent email, saying to me, you can give a lecture. The student who had invited me, I discovered, was a very He explained to me why he had given the lecture. He could
on the other one from.
The other one from.
What I say in public today is terrifying for them. They don't want more people to listen to it. He is a terrorist. He is an extremist. He is a radical. He has links with this and with that. He is anti-Semitic. Bullshit. Anybody can be anti-Semitic but me. I am a pure Arab, a Semite, a pure Semite, a descendant of Tamim al-Dari. And I don't hate the Jews. I hated the Jews at one time, as I told you. I no longer hate the Jews because I have very good friends that when I meet them, as if I am meeting my brothers. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ They have their religion, I have my religion. But on the basis of humanity, our spirits hug, we embrace, we agree on the fundamental and absolute value of justice. The Zionists don't understand this. Louise Ellman stands in Parliament speaking for 15 minutes to convince the government that someone like me should be proscribed and banned from speaking. I feel victorious. That's a sign of victory. And that's why this message has to go out. We are not against the Jews. We have nothing against the Jews. We have everything against Zionism and the Zionists. And again, in spite of their efforts, I challenge them once more. Instead of dirty tricks, come and discuss. Come and have a debate. Tell us what you think about theft and robbery. Tell us what you think about killing people en masse. Tell us what you think about making us pay for the crimes of the Nazis. Is that fair? Come and talk to us in public. Let's have the TV camera. Let's have the radio. Let's have the press. Let's have the useless bloody United Nations witness that truth has been concealed for so long, and it is time the truth comes out, and it will come out. I do call also on my Muslim brothers and sisters. We have
to become enlightened about these things. No human being is born evil. After all, the Prophet told us, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة ثم أبواه يهودان إلى يوم المجدان إلى يوم النصران. Every human being is born on the natural instinct. Then as he grows up or she grows up, it's the parents who bring him into Judaism or into Christianity or into whatever other religions. ولا تجروا بأسرة مدر أخرى. We cannot hold people who are innocent responsible for the crimes of others just because they belong to the same religion or because they belong to the same community. We are the ones on the basis of our Quran that are ordered to carry the thought of justice and truth to the world. And we cannot be prejudiced. And we cannot hate people in totality just like that. It's un-Islamic, unacceptable. And it is time we do make a distinction between those who do right and those who do wrong. Thank you very much.